following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Tonight, I want to make note of, and I'm just going to talk very briefly, you're going to hear from a couple of other folks tonight besides me, about what it means to them to pursue the King, but I want to share some music with you tonight. I had hoped, but at this time last year, I said, I am going to get a Christmas record done this year. I've got enough original Christmas music that I've written and a couple of classics that I really love, and I just didn't get it done. So I want to do a few of those songs for you and with you tonight, and you'll have the words up there to listen. But I got to thinking about the music of Christmas. Okay, on the count of three, I'm going to give you 3 seconds to think about it. Don't shout it out, but I'll call on you, at least a handful of you, as you tell me what is your favorite Christmas song that isn't everybody else's favorite. Okay, so that means it can't be what? Can't be Silent Night. You know, like maybe a little bit off of the center Christmas music. Anybody got one that you're thinking of? 1, 2, 3, yes.
Mary, Did You Know?
Mary, Did You Know? You know, when I put up what's your favorite Christmas song, that was the most popular of them all. Yeah, way back there. Oh, Christmas Tree. In another language, oh,
Tannenbaum.
Tannenbaum, yeah. Okay, who else? Yep.
Silent Night.
Okay. Anybody else like Silent Night? No? You don't? Okay. Any other songs? Yeah. Oh, Come Emmanuel. I love that one. For some reason, I love the minor key Christmas songs. Anybody else? Yep, Joy. How many of you have heard that one? That old one with whatever her name was? It sounds like she's got a clothespin on her nose and she's singing. I think that's how they do that, but who else? Nothing? Yes. Oh, Holy Night. Yeah, yeah. White Christmas. Hark the Herald Angels. How many of you thought there was an angel named Harold when you were a kid and you heard that? Yeah. Anybody else? There was one. Yeah, go ahead. We Three Kings. Okay, now we're getting into the traditionals, but I'll Be Home for Christmas. Any of you ever heard the song Christmas Dinner? Peter, Paul, and Mary. And it's one of those sort of benevolent Christmas songs about a little boy wandering the streets of a cold city, and he looks in the window and he sees, you know, tables filled with turkey and pie, and then he goes and he looks through a window. He's kind of, you know, creepy. This kid's going around looking through the windows, but he sees an old lady all alone, the table bare and tears in her eyes. That's a beautiful song. He reaches in to share with her a crust of bread is all he has. He's looking for someone to share with. One of my favorite ones goes back to before I knew Jesus. But okay, you might want to write this one down. We sing this usually around Christmas. Suo, two words, suo, S-U-O, and then the second word, gan, G-A-N. Look that one up. And I would encourage you to look it up with a guy by the name of John, I think it's McDermott, singing it. It's a beautiful, beautiful very theologically sound Christmas carol. You can almost call it a Christmas lullaby. But the Bible is filled with Christmas songs. It really is. And we're not going to read all of them tonight, but I just want to draw your attention to the songs of Christmas as they appear in Scripture. Now, you know, some people say, how do you know they were sung? Well, they definitely were laid out as poetry. And we're just going to look at a couple of them in the Gospel of Luke very quickly. And then I'm going to share a song with you. And then Adam's going to come up and talk to you about pursuing the King. And then we're going to sing a song. I'm going to do another song. And then Isaac's going to come up and talk to you about pursuing the King. Okay, Luke chapter 1. And you know the story here. Zacharias is at the temple. And he's taking care of the burning of the incense. And it's his turn. And you have to know this. It had to be one of the most wonderful moments for these priests. There were a lot of priests in the nation of Israel. And some scholars say that it was so rare that they got to go into the temple and burn incense. Some even say it was probably a once or two or maybe three times in their lifetime that they got to go in and do that. And they didn't go into the Holy of Holies, but they went into the holy place on the feast days, and they had maybe a week or maybe it was 2 weeks where they were on duty, burning the incense in the morning, burning it in the evening. And this one day, while he's in there, there's an angel. And what are angels always saying to begin with when they appear? Don't be afraid. Every time they appear, it's don't be afraid, because they're terrifying. And they just scare the daylights out of everybody. So he has this encounter with the angel, and there's a promise from the angel. And somehow he goes back and relays this to his wife. Now, it wasn't a miracle birth in terms of like Jesus' birth. It wasn't a virgin birth, but it was a miracle in that God had not opened the womb of Elizabeth until this very time. And so they have a child, or she becomes pregnant. And when she's 6 months pregnant, Mary has her encounter with the angel. And then she hears the angel say, hey, but there's somebody that understands the movement of God in these days in a miraculous and an intervention sort of a sense. And it's a relative of yours, Elizabeth. And so the next thing you see, she packs up when Elizabeth is in her 6th month, and she goes down south to Judea to see her relative, Elizabeth. And it says this in verse 46. Let me back up just a little bit. In verse 41, it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she spoke with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Now she knows, Elizabeth knows, her baby's going to be special. But now she knows the baby of Mary is going to be, can I make up a word right now? Specialer. Going to be even more special, because she is carrying her Lord. The mother of my Lord, why would you come and visit me? And then there's a beautiful song. Who remembers what we call this song of Mary? The Magnificat. And she talks about the magnificence of God. And it's just, read that yourself later on. It's just a beautiful song of Mary. And then over in verse 67, Mary goes home. It appears maybe about the time, maybe after John was born, maybe before, we don't know for sure. But John is born, and then when it comes time to name the child, Zechariah says, bring me a little chalkboard, bring me a slate, a writing tablet. So he writes on it, he says his name is John. They say, wait a minute, there's no Johns in your family. You know, you need to stick with the family tradition. He says, his name is John. And then immediately his mouth was opened. Look at verse 64. And he spoke, praising God. Fear came upon everybody around them, and all these things were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judah. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child is this? It almost sounds like that Christmas carol, doesn't it? What child is this who laid to rest? Different child. Different child. This is, what child, what kind of child is this? Speaking of John. And the hand of the Lord was with them. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied. And some call this next part, the rest of chapter 1, the song of Zacharias. And again, it's beautiful as these folks that were waiting for and expecting Messiah to come, they're invited into this story, and it's just remarkable. How would you feel if you were the one, you had the visitation and something you've been praying for all your life as a Christian, the coming of Christ, and somehow the Lord says to you, I want you to play a part in this. Well, he does want you to play a part in it, starting right now, to let other people know that Christ is coming. But these folks were invited into this incredible miracle, and it gave birth to this poetry and these prayers and these songs. And I think some of the most beautiful music in all the world is the music that has come to being over the birth of Christ, and as Zach was saying, over the death, the resurrection of Jesus. It focuses us into this whole story of redemption. On Christmas Eve, I'm going to share a message with you. You want to know the title? I don't know if I'm going to tell you. And maybe, if you sing really well on the first song, I'll tell you, okay? You know the tune of the first song, and we might have sung it here before, but I'm pretty excited about the title of what I want to share with you on Christmas Eve. Christmas morning, it's going to be a very, very different thing. But what I want to do is share this first song with you, and I wrote it together with a guy by the name of Ludwig. Von Beethoven. He and I got together, and I let him do the music. You know, he's pretty good at that. And I just came up with some words to it. So I'm going to go over here to begin with, and then I'll go back and forth here a little bit tonight. And it's that tune that we call Ode to Joy, and we sing it to Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. But years and years ago, I heard, I think it was Jack Hayford, he wrote a song to this same tune. I thought, well, if Jack Hayford can do that, I think I'm going to try that. And this song, by the way, how many of you wish you could write a song? You never have, but you wish you could. You can write a song to this tune. You can sing the phone book to this tune, and it'll sound good, because thanks to Ludwig. So those words are going to be up there on the screen, I think. I think, they will. Here we go.
Jesus, humble babe in manger, how our hearts do welcome you. God in flesh, yet as a stranger, come to ransom and renew. Deity is now incarnate, now may God and man be one. Now in you the kingdom coming, Son of God and God the Son. Rejoice, wisdom of our God descended, come to shatter Satan's hold. Jesus, humble babe in manger, come as prophets have foretold. Jesus, humble babe in manger, make our heart your dwelling place. Reside in power and glory, change us by your matchless grace, purge away all that hinders, where you lead we will pursue. Jesus, humble babe in manger, how our hearts do welcome you, purge away.
Good job. Good job. I was singing through that today, and I thinking about this theme we've been on all this month about where you lead, we will pursue. And there was that word we've been thinking about, your pursuit of Jesus, your pursuit of God. It doesn't stop when you get saved. Really, that's when it really, really begins, when you realize who he was and how desperately you needed him. And you realize, oh, he says, oh, there's more. You're inside the door of salvation. But come, there's a whole kingdom to explore. And there's a Christ to know deeper and deeper and deeper, what it means to pursue him. So I've asked Adam if he would come and share with you what that means to him. So would you well? And he is not feeling all that well. He said, you're good? Oh, big healing. Big healing on this day. Go for it, man.
Thanks. I'm like getting over it at that stage. So is anyone else getting kind of sick or kind of getting over being sick? Okay, cool. I'll just make sure that Isaac doesn't touch this afterwards. So Pastor Bill asked me to just kind of reflect and share kind of my thoughts on pursuing the King. And I think for me, at least this season, this year, the thought of pursuing the King brings up a lot of comparison. And what I mean by that is, I don't know if you guys compare things sometimes. Like, I just saw the new Star Wars movie, Rogue One, and instantly, you know, you see it and you start to compare it to like the other ones and or other movies. Or if you've seen, you know, for me, if I see a superhero movie, I usually compare it to the other superhero movies. And so for pursuing the King and thinking about pursuing God and pursuing Christ, it makes me think about when I've pursued other things. And I think that so much, especially in this season, tends to revolve around pursuing other things other than Christ. And take it from someone who, even though I might still be on the younger side, I've spent a lot of time pursuing other things, and not necessarily bad things, not all good things, but not all bad things, but pursuing things that just weren't necessarily of God, if that makes sense, or not things that necessarily God had for me. And maybe you've been in that place, maybe you're in that place now where you've just been pursuing, or you spent seasons of your life pursuing things that maybe God just didn't have for you right now, or you thought for sure that was of God, and then it turned out not being that way. And just thinking about those things and thinking about a lot of that wasted time pursuing things that were not the King, it makes me so blessed and so thankful that now I can say that I am pursuing the King. And I think of the biblical story. I think of the wise men and the shepherds and all these characters that were pursuing the King. And we've been talking about a lot of them in the main, in the high school, junior high. We've been discussing all these biblical characters that were pursuing the King. And it would have been so easy to just be like, nah, like, I'm good. Like, I don't necessarily want to pursue the King. The shepherds could have pursued so much else. They could have pursued sleep that night or their jobs. The wise men, they could have pursued, you know, things in their own land. They didn't have to cross, you know, so many miles to find this babe. Joseph and Mary could have been like, you know what, this sounds like a good plan, but it's just not something that I thought about doing. It's not my 5-year plan. It's not something that I have really thought about pursuing. And I think so often, you know, maybe for you, definitely for me, there have been times where I've just wanted to pursue other things. And looking at those seasons and looking at those times in my life, I see where it was just desert and where it was just wandering. And that's made pursuing the King and pursuing Jesus so much more powerful and so much more real to really think of where my life is now because of altering and because of choosing and deciding to pursue Jesus instead. And in Psalm 63, verse 1, it says, O God, you are my God. Earnestly will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, so I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. And I just want to encourage you guys, you know, this Christmas season and as we're moving in this time, it's so easy to pursue other things, family and traditions and, you know, all the things, gifts, all the things that come with that. And those things are great. I mean, I'm a huge Christmas person. You know, my family has tons of traditions, but it's so easy to stop pursuing Jesus. It's so easy to pursue all these other little things and then broaden that scope in life. And if you're here tonight and if you're pursuing things that aren't the King, I urge you to redirect And the beauty of pursuing the King is it's not too late to ever redirect. It's not too late to ever get back on that road and say, you know what? I haven't been pursuing the King. I haven't been pursuing Jesus. But you know what? I'm ready to do that now. And I just want to leave you guys with that tonight. Pursue the King because it's so much better than anything else that this world has to offer.
Good word, man. That's good. I mentioned the song of Zechariah and the priest, and when he finally his tongue is loosed, he says his name. You know, after he writes out the fact that his name is John, and then he can speak, and he's got a lot to say. He's been holding it in for 9 months, or maybe even more. But when he speaks, it's pretty powerful. And then he talks, to begin with, he talks about Jesus, who this Messiah is going to be and this promised one. But if you look down a little bit further in chapter 2, he turns to his boy, his child, and he says in verse 76, "And you, child, you will be called the prophet of the highest." He knows his son is special, but I love the fact that he gave Jesus first place. When he started his singing that day, he had something to sing over his own child, but he started where he needed to start, with Jesus. And then he says, "But you, my child, you'll be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways and to give the knowledge of salvation to his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring," another word for Jesus, "from on high has visited us to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." Isn't that great stuff? Don't you wish you could write a song like that? I can't, but I'd love to. I want to share a song with you that it was about, I think it was 2 years ago, and I was coming down from up in, I don't know if that's on or not. I was coming down from doing the shepherd up in Northern California, and I was on Interstate 5, and I decided, it's late, but I want to go home. And so I realized I'm probably going to get home about 1 o'clock in the morning, and I had all these miles before me. And I was listening to somebody else's Christmas song, and it put me in the writing mood. So this is what came from that. And the words to this one won't be up on the screen. You just got to listen. But you will sing something in just a bit.
Endless line of headlights on Interstate 5, 300 miles before me on my midnight drive. But I can't help but think about those travelers long ago. They made their way from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Oh, Joseph, rise up from your dream. I wonder if this humble man had doubts along the way, and maybe Mary's father had a word or two to say. When he heard his daughter's story, he struggled to believe, and you know it had to break his heart. But this baby broke the darkness, oh, the moment that he cried. Oh, Joseph, hold him close to your side. Oh, Joseph, can almost see the Father as he looks down from above, and his Son begins his journey in the world that he so loves. To bear my sin and sorrow, and to lift my heavy load, and to travel every mile with me on my midnight road.
And Isaac is going to come up. He's got something to say to you about what it means to pursue the King.
This Christmas season reminds me a couple of interesting moments in my life. Specifically, as a sophomore in high school, and I might have been maybe 14 or 15 years old as a sophomore, and one day I got the grand idea to take my mother's car keys and to go for a joyride. What do you guys think happened? Exactly. I got into a car crash. I backed up into this nice little elderly couple's Pontiac. And I was getting out of the car to kind of see what was going on. And at the moment I step out of the car, it hits me. I'm driving a stolen vehicle. I'm under the age to be driving anything. And I freak out, hop into the car, and then take off. Don't judge me. And so I'm going over curbs. This elderly couple's pursuing me. They're on pursuit. They're following me around shopping mall centers. And eventually I lose them off my tail. And like any smart 14-year-old criminal, I ended up parking the car back at our apartment building's parking structure where the accident took place, right in front. And so I sneak into my house. I'm like, oh, okay, nobody is going to be able to find me. More and more cops start showing up onto my street, and I'm just sweating bullets in my room, not knowing what the heck's going on. They spot the car. They run the plates. At the time, my mom was a property manager of the apartment building, and I see them walk into the apartment building. I'm just about to pass out in my room, not knowing what the heck is going on. My mom walks in with the two officers, and my mom asked me. She knew, actually. She knew it was me. So just for her, I'm sure for her liability, she had to ask me and said, "Isaac, did you drive my car?" And under the conviction and guilt of my crime, I said yes. And to top this all off, Christmas was 1 week away. So you guys can imagine what my Christmas looked like that year. I wasn't expecting anything. It was, you know, Christmas Day arrives and I don't see any presents for me. And so I'm not even upset. I know I deserved it. Like I didn't even go there. So I go up to my room, just kind of go probably play video games or something. And then my mom follows me. And then at first it freaked me out. I was like, man, I got the spanking a week ago. Like why am I going to get another one? Like I got it. But no, luckily my mom did something and said something to me that I will never forget. She gave me a present. And she said, "Isaac, you don't deserve this. But God's given me so many things that I don't deserve. And I want you to know that God loves you. And I know you're rebelling against us right now. You're rebelling against God. But I just want you to know that God loves you." And at that moment, the whole concept of grace kind of was made real to me. Isaac, how does this have to do with pursuing the King? The fact that we have a pursuit of the King, the fact that we get to follow Jesus, is a grace in and of itself. A simple definition of what grace is getting something you and I don't deserve. And so for the believers in this room, know that grace was beautifully wrapped in the human flesh of King Jesus. And that relationship and that pursuit, we don't deserve at all. Perfect God, completely sinful man. And yet God in Christ made it available for you and I to be able to pursue him, to be able to enjoy this journey that he calls us to be a part of our whole lives. And so very simply, my encouragement to you is may grace blow your socks off. When you're opening presents Christmas Day, when you're looking at your families, that's grace. So that's my encouragement to you guys. Love you guys.
Wow. You know, the amazing thing is I didn't give them much warning at all. I told them this afternoon, "Hey, would you guys put together something and just share what it means to you to pursue the King?" I want to do two more songs with you, and then we're gonna end class early tonight and let you hang out with one another. That was a pretty remarkable story of a young man being shown grace that he didn't deserve. Well done, Karina, to pass on that message of grace in that way. How many of you have been shown mercy that you don't deserve? And I, obviously by God, but how many of you have had a parent or a friend or someone who should have judged you, they chose to love you? Yeah, and that's what we're expected to do when we have been shown so much grace by God. It has to be passed on. We can't lock ourselves into judgment over other people when we've been shown grace, and we need to be conveyors of grace. So, you know this song. One is a chorus that we've done before, and the other one is the song I usually do at the end of the Shepherd, but all the words are going to be up there for you for these. Oh, kneel me down again here at your feet. Show me how much you love humility. Be the star that leads me to this humble heart of love I see in you. 'Cause you are the God of the broken, the friend of the weak. Heart in me, you are the God.
embrace the ones in need. I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King, 'cause you are the God of the broken, the friend of the weak. You wash the feet of the weary, embrace the ones in need. And I want to be like you, Jesus, to have this heart in me. You are the God of the heart. You are the humble King. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King. You are the God of the humble. You are the humble King.
One of my favorite songs of Christmas is the brief chorus that the angels sang when after the first angel made the pronouncement to the shepherds. And he says, you'll find this baby wrapped up in rags and laying in a feeding trough. And then it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude. How many is a multitude? A lot. Some say thousands upon thousands. A multitude of the heavenly host. And it says, all of them giving thanks to God, saying what? Gloria in excelsis Deo, right? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men. Let's try again.
Peace to you. Peace to you. Every tongue. Every tongue and every nation. Every tribe and generation. Christ is born. The Son of Mary. Holy Son of God. Peace to you, peace that passes understanding, now and everlasting. Christ is born, Son of Mary, Holy Son of God. Peace to you. In the city of David, a baby cries, God among us in disguise. A precious virgin her secret keeps, as the world sleeps. Peace to you. Peace to you, to the broken and the lonely comes, the humble and the holy. Christ is born, Son of Mary, Holy Son of God. Peace to you. Manger, Christ is born, the Son of Mary. Now the humble and the holy seeks, the broken and the lonely, Christ is
six times, and that gives you six opportunities to look in somebody else's eyes and sing to them. How many of you never sung to another person before? You're about to cross a threshold, break a new barrier. Let's sing it to one another, okay? Find somebody. Peace to you. Peace to you. Peace to you. You're halfway through. Peace to you. Time. Peace to you. And now this gentle little stranger has been called the friend of sin. Peace to you. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Prince of Peace who came to give us peace with you, Lord, and peace from you. So wonderful, Lord, to know that we have peace with you. We're not at war with you anymore, though imperfect as we are. And you see all the stuff that needs changing in us, Lord. You approach us with songs of rejoicing. You sing over us. And it's just remarkable to think about that, Father God. It's humbling to think that you have something to sing over us. Thank you for such love, Lord. And I just pray, Father, it's likely that there's someone here who hasn't come to know your peace yet. And maybe they're not even at peace with you, maybe still resisting what you want to do. God, I pray you would destroy that defense and you would pull it down so that they would know you, Lord. They would know the peace of having their sins forgiven and knowing they're embraced by a wonderful, loving God, that you so love them that you sent your Son Jesus. So, Father, thank you for that. And help us to walk through the rest of this hectic season with grace for others and with peace, Lord, that we might pronounce it over people. May that word be on our lips a lot this season. We love you, Lord, and thank you for one another in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's thank Zach for leading us in songs tonight, too. More Christmas songs. And Let's say again, thank you to Adam and Isaac for giving us a great word tonight. So we'll see you on Christmas Eve, noon, 5 or 7, and Christmas morning at 11. God bless you. Peace to you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.